So we're here with Mike Fagelman.
He's the Executive Director of Honest Reporting Canada. Mike, tell us what you do at Honest Reporting Canada.
Thanks for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it. Honest Reporting is basically, it's a media watchdog. We're based in Toronto and in Montreal, and our goal and our mandate is to ensure fair and accurate Canadian media coverage of Israel and the broader Middle East.
What types of things do you do to keep an eye on the media and how they portray Israel?
So there's a variety of methods that we're able to actually monitor the media. For one, we have a staff based out of Montreal and Toronto who are scrupulously reading different newspapers, whether in French or in English. We digitally archive various television and radio broadcasts and watch them for issues of balance, whether they're telling the complete story of the Middle East, for accuracy, whether the facts are actually there. We want to make sure that opinion isn't disguised as news. And a lot of the time, we have about 20,000 members from coast to coast. Regular Canadians drop us an email and say, you know, you should take a look at this, or I'm not sure if this is problematic. Could you lend us your expertise and let me know if I should contact a particular media outlet to voice our concerns?
What are some of the most common mistakes, the most common problems that journalists run into so often that you're just finding that this is all too common?
Sure. I think one of the most difficult thing a journalist has to do is try to maintain his or her neutrality. And a lot of the times when talking about what could be the most difficult issue to write on the world today, which is the Arab-Israeli conflict, using different terms like terrorist or militant insurgent, that seems to be a very difficult thing for them to do. CBC, for instance, finds that their actual policy is to use the term militant instead of using terrorist or any of the other variants. And from their perspective, they feel that that's achieving some kind of neutrality. It's really sanitizing the reality because Canadians are informed that organizations like Hamas and Islamic Jihad, Al Aqsa Martyrs Brigade are terrorist organizations. So in terms of language, the media are constantly bombarded with complaints from either side, and that's a very difficult thing for them to do. A couple other examples. The media constantly refer to returning the Gaza Strip back to the Palestinians. Language would be in Gaza and the West Bank. Impossible because the Palestinians have actually never had autonomous control of the region. There's a lot of naivete of the media, a lot of ignorance. A lot of it comes by the fact that a lot of the journalists who are posted to the region are basically parachuted there. They don't have the necessary skill set, and they're told to report on really a very difficult issue. And there's kind of a herd mentality that prevails in the region. There's a kind of a lowest common denominator way of thinking, and everyone, just different Mideast bureau chiefs, tell the same story.
You mentioned something very telling about the T word. It's been a controversy. It's been something widely discussed amongst a lot of news outlets, whether or not to use the T word, terrorist, supplant it with militant, insurgent, gunman.
Sometimes activist.
Activist, yeah. That's my favorite. So there's no distinction between somebody who was walking around with an AK-47 mowing down civilians who haven't done anything innocent on the street, who gets the label activist. You can't be terrorist. Does your organization point that out to journalists too?
I wouldn't say that it's a wholehearted effort for us to lobby the media to change that type of language. It's something that we did in the past, and the media, to be perfectly honest, aren't as receptive to. It's hard to sensitize and educate the media in its own right. Just to give you a particular example, the Globe and Mail 3 weeks ago put out a report about a Palestinian terrorist named Dalal al-Mughrabi, a woman who went onto an Israeli bus and, along with a band of cohorts, shot and killed, I think, 40, and there was an explosion, about 40 Israelis had died. And they described her as a resistance fighter. Now to us, from that perspective, we all know that resistance, it's a euphemism, really, is what it is for describing individuals whose job is to murder innocent Israelis. And we didn't feel that by writing that type of language, didn't educate Canadians about who this woman was and what her intentions actually were. It's a difficult thing to do. I don't think we can make the bold leap of getting the media to change the term resistance to calling them terrorist. The main push, and it's an unfortunate thing, but if they can try to maintain some kind of a more neutral language, that's something that we're going for.
I realize that even the media don't know what words to use. Sometimes they will switch back and forth because even the reporter isn't given a solid definition of each one. I would place bets that a place like the Globe and Mail doesn't have a style guide for this stuff where they outline precisely when do we call him a gunman? When do we call him a militant? When do we call him a resistance fighter, an activist? When do we call him a terror? It's just, today we're going to be calling them a resistance fighter and we'll cope. So let's go on to the next question. One of the city's most widely respected, renowned, trusted news organization, City TV, you flagged this week. A mistake, is it? Or
Yeah. We called it an unforgiving error. Very serious, egregious mistake.
Well, then definitely we have to unpack this. What did they do? What did they say?
Sure. So City TV has a news program called City TV International, which is a half-an-hour program about current events going on around the world. They had a feature on August 14th about the Middle East and about that there were scuffles between Israeli soldiers and pro-Palestinian protesters at the West Bank area of Nelin, where the security barriers being constructed there. And they did a report which alleged that Israeli soldiers had killed 11 pro-Palestinian demonstrators, a claim which is absolutely baseless, and I can tell you authoritatively that nobody died. Some people were injured, but they got it seriously, seriously wrong. So what we did is, and we try not to be strident or reactionary, but simply we called up City TV, brought the error to their attention, and after a little back and forth, they did agree to put out an on-air correction. About 4 days later, they put out what we felt was a very dismal on-air correction. In fact, it wasn't on-air at all. It appeared in a very small text which indicated that some of the protesters were hurt. The problem with that is most people are not going to see that dismal correction.
Or even remember what happened 4 days ago.
Or even remember it. Most people are still left with this lingering sense that that Israeli soldiers bellicosely killed 11 pro-Palestinian demonstrators. So from our perspective, we sent out what we call a communique to our members, and we have about 20,000, and from time to time, if they feel so inclined, they write to City TV, and they'll bring, you know, their concerns to the publicist's attention or an editor's attention. In this particular sense, we felt that the correction that they put out was not satisfactory. So we're waiting to hear back if they'll either put out a new correction. I sincerely doubt that they would. But a lot of people were very, very upset. I mean, it's a serious libel when it comes down to it, alleging that 11 people were murdered when it didn't happen at all. We would like to see equal time being represented on the same program with the same hierarchy on the newscast. I think it would be deserving.
What you found and what others found requires a keen observer's knowledge of what had happened. You really have to pour through the facts and the reports. And in this instance, I think honest reporting is correcting a perpetuated fallacy that, I mean, let's face it, maybe City TV got sloppy, maybe they got careless. But there are times in the media where it's not just about careless or sloppy, it's about wittingly using something that an accuracy. For example, I've seen repetitively in the media the reference to the Israeli wall that's being built. And you should be able to know that it's not all a wall. 2-3% a wall, and the rest is barbed wire and fence
and chain link fences
and basic security apparatus to ensure the attacks don't continue in Israel. So it's things like that, I think, that you're also jumping on that lay people can also see. Can you give me maybe an example of something else that a journalist would say but should know better?
Just sticking with the topic of the security barrier, I think what most people don't see and what most of the media don't recognize is that they're constantly putting out pictures of the security barrier and only of the walled sections, and you mentioned that it's 2-3%. It's absolutely true, and the reasons that it's walls is to prevent terrorists from using their sniper rifles to shoot at Israeli children. But most of the time, the images that are appended to articles in different Canadian papers and different international media outlets are pictures of the tall concrete barrier sections. So that's very misleading, because it's really not a fair representation of what the security apparatus is. And also, when you see news coverage about it, there's very, you know, there's almost oblique reference of the fact that it is there as a security mechanism. And sometimes the media try to couch it as, you know, the Palestinians call it a land grab, the Israelis say it's there for security purposes. That's the media's perspective of finding balance. From my perspective, if they can at least reference Israel's security concerns, I'm content with that. But a lot of the times we're seeing that completely ignored. I'll give you another example. There was a newspaper in Kingston called the Whig Standard that put out a report that alleged that Israeli police officers who had detained a Canadian activist in the West Bank had forced this gentleman to sign a forced confession in Hebrew, a claim that was patent, well, the veracity of which has not been able to be confirmed, but the newspaper accepts it as true because an activist said it. So they basically wrote it as fact, and that's a lot of the times that we tend to see is that the media accept, you know, different individuals' claims from very problematic backgrounds and very questionable resumes. They accept their claims as true. From our perspective, you know, that was especially problematic. It's a serious human rights violation, a serious violation of due process and protocol at Israeli prisons. And when we complained, they put out a clarification. Again, we felt it's dismal. It's difficult because clarifications are on page 8-2. They're about 20 words. A lot of the times people won't see it. Our goal and our hope is that because we've been able to sensitize them and because they know that we're watching them, they won't do that in the future. So on top of trying to identify and correct the bad media coverage, we really want to prevent it from happening again.
I totally agree. I think the most important thing to remember, I've discovered that there is, when correcting bad behavior, bad speech, there's the ESP rule. It has to be expeditious, it has to be specific, and through words and actions, promise not to do it again. Mm-hmm. And if you can get the promise not to do it again, then, okay, maybe you didn't get the expeditious and specific, but the problem isn't going to be repeated, and hopefully through virtue of the good stuff in days to come and months to come and years to come, that it will outweigh the bad stuff. Let me ask you about moral equivalence. This is a tricky thing to flag, especially in some newspapers where they feel that if they talk about something that the Palestinians have done, they have to talk about something the Israelis have done. Whether the two are related or whether the two are weighed equally, they have to talk about the two as though the two should be juxtaposed.
Right.
As if to say, for example, today in Israel, three Israelis were killed by an explosive device in a cafe. Meanwhile, in Gaza, two children were shot by Israeli defense forces. And it's not colored by context that those children very well have been placed in front of snipers who were shooting at the Israeli Defense Forces and used as cover, but the only thing, as far as the reporters is concerned, is that this was as deliberate and as targeted as the aforementioned terrorist activity against the Israelis that were killed. Tell us how Honest Reporting Canada approaches things like moral equivalence.
Sure. It's a difficult thing to tackle, I'm going to be honest, right at the start. Because really what you're pointing out to is something that isn't inaccurate. In other words, there's nothing false about it.
But
it's a misleading kind of reporting. I'll just give you a particular example. The front page cover of Newsweek magazine a couple years ago had a picture of a Palestinian female suicide bomber and her victim, the Israeli victim. And there was a profile, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
And basically the story that was told was, it was almost sympathetically portraying and profiling this Palestinian suicide bomber, the reasons and the motivations for why she became a suicide bomber, and a very glossed over description of the actual victim. From our perspective, I mean, drawing that kind of an equivalence, it doesn't educate Canadians or people around the world about who this person was. It's very problematic. It's difficult. It's something that, you know, if you bring to the media's attention, they'll say, well, show me the error. It's something that's almost ambiguous.
Error by omission.
That's true. Yeah, and you mentioned context. Context is a very difficult thing to do. You mentioned the fact that there were some Palestinian boys who might have been shot, and you don't know if they were either used as human shields. A lot of the times when you hear, you know, five Palestinians killed, you don't hear the fact that they might have
been...
What
were they doing?
What they might have been doing, whether they were terrorists. One of the difficulties with that, which the media don't try to use terms, is because of the fact that terrorists aren't in military uniforms, they're in civilian fatigues. It's hard to make that judgment. So they try to just avoid by making that label and just say 10 Palestinians died, versus the fact that when there's an Israeli casualty, they're clearly delineated and identified.
Earlier you had mentioned that you have delegates at an office in Quebec.
That's right.
And then I think we underestimate the number of media outlets and the number of people who have access to this. Quebec's a province, I think, of 12, 13 million people. You also have to monitor them, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say that some of the reports that go out in the French press sometimes border from just straightforward anti-Israel content, and it sometimes it actually turns into anti-Semitism and virulent anti-Semitism.
Wow.
You know, a couple of examples. I mean, in 2002, there's a La Presse journalist, a guy by the name of Serge Chaplot, who drew a caricature, a cartoon, an editorial cartoon, that depicted then Prime Minister Ariel Sharon eating the head of a Palestinian baby. This is, you know, reminiscent of blood libels we've seen, you know, decades and decades ago. Something that, you know, continues unabated in the French press. It's taken us a couple of years to really get our plan together, but I'm happy to say we were able to launch our presence and office in Montreal and to create a French monitoring unit where we're looking at all of the French newspapers and French radio and television and websites. And there's a lot of content out there. It's also something we want to encourage more people who speak French to write and correspond with the French media. Obviously in French it's more effective. Having people from across Canada write in English might not be receptive. So we're looking to create, you know, if you would, cells, local cells all across Canada, starting specifically in Montreal, to engage with the French press.
Now, Israel, it's such a complicated narrative. As there's all kinds of facts and history and context to the conflict. Every day we hear a new story. 8 years ago onward, there isn't a day that goes by that you can't find a story about Israel. Somebody will go to your site and see the errors, and through deduction, learn the right things from the wrong things. But what would be a great place for somebody to really start to learn the basics, so that when they're reading themselves and they want to tell you about an error in the media, they can learn. How does somebody who wants to learn about the Middle East, who wants to learn about Israel, learn? Where do they start?
So apart from going to our website, which I think is a great information provider if you want to, it's www.honestreporting.ca. And we want to consider ourselves an information provider and not just a media monitoring organization. We want to educate people about how to professionally engage with the media. A couple other sources that I think are great. If you've ever read Myths and Facts, a book by Dr. Mitchell Bard, he also has a great website, which is jewishvirtuallibrary.org. Really, any question you could possibly have about any issue about different UN resolutions, about the conflict, about different countries' claims to certain lands. He's got it incredibly well footnoted and sourced. That's one really great source. Another thing that you can really just very easily do is go to the Israeli government websites, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, go to different Israeli newspapers, Jerusalem Post, Yediot Aharonot, Haaretz if you want. And finally, just do a simple compare and contrast from different Canadian and international media outlets. I think you'll at the very minimum you'll get a good understanding of what's going on, and you can be informed,
which I think is very important. If they're going to be interested in Israel and the media and what the media says about Israel and how best to combat it knowledgeably.
Yeah, I mean, I go to schools all the time, and I speak at different universities and high schools. And one of the big problems I find is that the students there are not media literate. They are largely ignorant of what's going on, not just with the Middle East file, but with regard to international relations, politics, Canadian politics. It's something that I think we need to change in our school systems as well, is to have students be much more literate about what's going on.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Mike Fagelman, Executive Director of Honest Reporting Canada.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
And again, the website is
honestreporting.ca.
Thanks again, Mike.
My pleasure.